Some got some stats out today. Government research reveals surprise group most fearful of receiving the COVID vaccine.
Whoa.
Coronavirus!
Yeah, this whole COVID-19 vaccine, it's coming. It's coming. It's like a tsunami. It's a tidal wave. You can see it on the horizon. It hasn't hit yet. And there's no quite telling how it's going to be. Like this whole last year, of course, has been a big shitstorm, right? Let's turn the world on its head. Everyone's dealing with the new normal, trying to figure things out, do the best you can. Some people have it worse than others, whatnot. People have different opinions on what's going on and what the best methods moving forward is. I have a sneaky suspicion this is just act one. The vaccine coming, there's a group of people who's like, oh, well, good, we'll get the vaccine and everything will go back to normal. Then there's some people go, no. No, I haven't even started with my angst yet. It's going to be real interesting to see. 2021, clearly the year of the vaccine, and no one quite knows how it's going to pan out anyway, just yet. Vaccine coming in about a month in terms of Australian shores, and it is a very surprising group who are the most fearful of the COVID-19 vaccine. According to government research, most Aussies will voluntarily get the COVID-19 jab when it becomes available. But there is one group less likely to get the jab than others. And you're probably thinking, oh, maybe like 65 to 75-year-old males, maybe like 40-year-old right-wingers, maybe like 18 to 25-year-olds who think that they're too young and healthy and no better than the vaccine people or anything like that. No, nothing like that. Women in their 30s.
Yeah, girls. Who run the world?
Women in their 30s are the most likely to be mistrustful of the COVID-19 vaccine, according to the government research. Survey of 1,000 Aussies found 42% of women aged between 30 and 39 had concerns about the safety of the COVID-19 vaccine efficacy. Almost one in two. Overall, 27% of the population had concerns about the vaccine safety, which is still pretty high, I guess. I would have thought it would be more around 10 to 15%. But nevertheless, Australia's Chief Medical Officer, Paul Kelly, on Sunday said, confidence is the key ahead of the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine next month. Of course. Producer Michaela, I know you're not 30, but what are you, mid-20s?
Yeah, mid-20s.
Mid-20s. Okay, so you're nearing on this. Scale of 1 to 10. 1 being, hey, jab me right now. 10 being not touching it with a 10-foot pole ever. Where are you sitting?
I'm a 10. I'm not. I hate needles. Hate needles.
But you're not going to get it?
No, I'm not going to get it. No.
Whoa. This wasn't discussed. This is live radio at its finest.
Coronavirus!
Jesus Christ, we've got an anti-vaxxer on our hands. What the hell? This wasn't brought up in the interview process. Are you serious? You are going to be hell-bent for leather not to get it.
I won't get it because I don't like needles, but I don't know where that's been.
Where they've been putting that virus. Oh my God, no. I'll put up my own antibodies. I'll run the gauntlet. I'll roll the dice. Who cares? Wow. Big breaking news on the Danny Lakey show. Producer Michaela will not be getting vaccinated. Okay, fair enough. Well, look, I mean, you will have to get vaccinated at some point, I'd say, if you ever want to go overseas again and regain your livelihood. But we'll put you at the bottom of the queue. That's all right. I can remain open-minded. We mustn't panic. I'm going to put Michaela. I mean, health workers will go first, then elderly, immunosuppressed. Then I'll probably put like 65+. And then maybe like then I'm going to put people who really want it. I'd say I really want it. Like, jab me up. Like, give it to me now. I'm happy to go ahead of the health workers if they want. Give it to me now. So I can get my little COVID passport and I can go back to doing things. I've got no issues with it. I don't mind needles. I'm also very trustworthy of the government. And people will be driving off the road right now. It's a very controversial topic. That's why we saved it for pretty much the last third of the show. Look, put me there. I'm going to put myself between, I'll put them just after the elderly. I want to go between elderly and immunosuppressed. I've got important things to be doing. Put me right up the top of the queue. I want to be in the first 4 million. I want to be done by March. Sign me up big time. He said that this is the Chief Medical Officer, Paul Kelly. He said the federal government's $24 million advertising campaign would encourage Australians to get the vaccine when it becomes available. Yeah, cool. Thanks. I reckon we need to get a little bit of forced advertising for producer Michaela to maybe sway her biases. 133353, where are you on the scale? Are you itching for the vax? Will you never be vaxed? And we'll see if we can make a little order here, because I'm quite liking the look of where I'm positioned at the moment. The 65 pluses, you'll have your day in the sun, probably put you around the 7 million mark. How many people in Australia are there? 27 million. So we'll put producer Michaela probably down around the 25 million mark. She can go there. 133353. Where you are you on the vax ladder? We've just got to make sure that we've got a nice orderly queue here. So Martina in
yes,
hello.
In Kempsey,
New South Wales.
Yes. I 100% agree with everything you said. Mm. There's lots of people that put a lot of shit in their bodies. I put a lot of shit in my body. Mm. I'm a health worker and I say, like, please make it really good for the people that need it.
Mm. So, all right, health worker. So we're putting Martina right at the front of the queue. You'll be in the top 1 million if I've got anything to do with it. You can definitely be there. Probably top 200K, I'd say. And, it is very interesting if you were to, like, so that's my first question. Not that I'm in the mood to pick a fight with anyone. I don't really care, to be honest.
Give me a question.
No, not you. Oh. As it, like, people who don't want to get the vaccine, like, it doesn't really bother me, to be honest, but I will say to them, I was like, oh, have you ever done drugs back in the day? You snort a couple of lines in the bathroom toilet? They'd be like, yeah,
thank
cool.
you. Yeah, exactly.
And, like, well,
and
you didn't know
how many people
that.
Have done speed?
Yeah, exactly. Did you trust the science on that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
it's interesting.
How many people smoke cigarettes and they're worried about their DNA? Oh, there's
Cigarettes have been around for a while. It's been regulated, you see, so whatever. Anyway, thanks, Martina. Jenny in Glenorchy. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're in the 65-plus bracket.
Yes, I'm 70.
Okay, so we're going to have to put you top 4 million. It's now you're going to have to plead your case to get higher up the ladder. Any immunosuppression at all on your end?
All of my working years, I've been working for 50 years and 3 months. Mm. I've had the flu injection every year, with the exception of two, because I already had the flu.
Sure.
Last year and the year before, I had my pneumonia injections. I will be having the COVID injection.
Well, you're a vaccine veteran. You're experienced in the vaccine.
Well, I'm hoping that after all of those years of being jabbed, my immune system is reasonably healthy.
Of course. But, you know, you're up there. And with all these vaccines, I mean, if what they're saying, some people say that there is spy technology in the vaccine liquid. So you, having been vaccinated many times, you feel spied upon? You feel like people know your movements because you've got the flu vaccine coursing through your veins?
How do you mean, being spied upon?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask someone with that theory, to be honest. I think we're going to put you in the top 2.
Oh, you mean government-wise?
Yeah, there's rumours, there's talk that they've got little mini surveillance cameras in the COVID-19 vaccines, and they'll jab it into you, and then you'll never be able to pleasure yourself again.
They'll know everything you do, everything you eat and drink and
they'll
everything.
They'll know everything about you. They'll know everything.
Oh, well, that sounds like something Mr. Trump would say.
Yeah, I know. I don't mind being watched. I quite like when I get targeted adverts on Facebook.
Look, can you honestly tell me that they don't know everything about us now?
Oh, yeah, Jenny, don't open up a long time. Don't open up that can of worms, babes. Oh, God, no, I can't deal with another can of worms. We're going to put you in the top 2 million. Michael in Sydney, how much chance is there of you getting the vaccine?
Zero, mate.
God, we'll put you down with Michaela as the last two.
I'll tell you why. Because I've done my research. Now, if you jump on the CDC website, they give you the facts of 113,000 Americans that have taken the vaccine. 3,000 and something have allergic reactions to it where they need medical help constantly and they cannot return back to work or even just live life. They've reacted to it so badly that they need medical help all the time. A UK study, when the first one came out, and I'm talking about Pfizer, 63 women got the vaccine out of 63 women, 62 of them cannot get pregnant ever again.
Oh, whoa. Guys, can we block this guy's Twitter account, please? No, fair enough.
I don't have Twitter, mate.
No, I'd like to see the facts, but no, fair enough. I mean, that's interesting. If that is the case, then put me down the bottom three with you guys, because I would like to get pregnant one day. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be taking my eggs away just for the sake of one thing.
No, I'd like my daughter. I would like to be a grandfather one day, yeah. So... I ain't taking it, man, and my kids aren't taking it. Yeah. No one's taking it. I mean, I don't care. I'm not having any more kids. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah. No one's not. Yeah. I mean, well, it's interesting. I mean, and I'm just spitballing here, but what if that you, producer Michaela, and your children are the only people that aren't getting vaxxed? And what's going to go on then? What's going to go on? We're going to have to tie you guys down.
Mate, we'll keep reproducing, mate. They want you to stop reproducing. That's what they want. Anyway, I ain't going to get into conspiracy theories, but anyway.
Nah, good gear. It's exactly how I thought it would end up anyway. But many hats. We've got the list. I mean, there's not too much competition for hot top spots. So me and Jenny from Glenorchy are fine. We won't be able to have any babies together, though.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
I like this headline. Danish broadcaster defends kids show about man with superhuman penis. Known for pushing the envelope, Danish public broadcaster has ruffled feathers with its latest children show, John Dillermand. It's a show about a man with a giant penis. It gets him in and out of all sorts of trouble. And if you've got a big penis, you'll know John Dillermand's predicament. Sure, it gets him into some great situations, being hung like a horse. But oh God, it can have its downsides as well. The show, and I kid you not, is aimed at children aged 4 to 8, launched earlier this week to controversy among some journalists and academics who find the series inappropriate for young children. Some argue that the program, whose protagonist's surname is actually a Danish slang word for penis, sends the wrong message to kids. Well, it follows a man who has no control over his genitals. John Dillermand. Wouldn't mind binging a whole season of John Dillermand just for shits and giggles. Just seeing what situations John Dillermand does get into and what he doesn't. I mean, he's a man with BDE, big dick energy. I've got the intro here. I'm just going to play it and I'm just going to sort of watch it in live time. I'll see how much I can describe. I'll see how fast-paced John Dillermand's big schlong's intro is.
Good day. Dear John Dillermand.
John Dillermand. Oh, it's a bit of a bop. Yeah, if I'm a 7-year-old, I'm watching this. Okay, oh, there's his big 8-foot penis. Okay. Yeah, oh, it's got it. Well, it's got its benefits. He's just tamed a tiger. Oh, and that's the trouble. Yeah, he's... Wow. Okay, good. John Dillermand, very hectic. Let's just go. Let's just play.
Good day, dear John Dillermand.
Okay, so let's break that down. That little boo is the John Dillermand title credits with then his 8-foot penis sort of like meandering along the bottom of the text. That's that. That's his penis going underneath the text. So,
John Dillermand.
Okay, that's John Dillermand. He's just been riding his bike and now he's got his penis stuck on the back of a bus. So that's the good. That's a good first scene for the children's show.
Dillermand.
Okay, now he's in a boat and he's fished out an old stovetop with his 8-foot penis, so that's good. Oh, that little chop there, that is next door neighbour trimming his hedges and accidentally chopped off John Dillermand's penis. Like he's got plenty of inches to spare. Okay, this is now John Dillermand using his penis as a helicopter propeller to come and put out a fire. Smart thinking. That little boing there was him using it as a pogo stick. Now he's taming a lion with his 8-foot penis. And the last scene, he's accidentally attached his penis to a whole heap of helium balloons. But luckily, there was an old widow next door who shot some of the balloons. And now John Dillermand has fallen safely into the privacy of his own lounge room. So there's a lot there for John Dillermand. And I'm immediately hooked. And I thought, John Dillermand can't be the only character with big dick energy. Surely some characters have big penises and some cartoon characters have small penises.
Big dick is, little dick is, big dick, little dick cartoon quiz.
So the Big Dick, Little Dick cartoon quiz, I'm just going to brainstorm a couple of children's television characters in different formats from different generations and maybe just try and brainstorm whether they are hung like a horse or whether they have a small penis, unlike John Dillermand. I think Big Bird from Sesame Street, I think he's got the Dillermand gene, doesn't he? I don't think they're calling him Big Bird for no reason. I think Bert from Sesame Street as well. And Bert and Ernie, like the stern one, the one with the monobrow, he's got BDE. Elmo, nah. No, no, you couldn't tickle that thing, Big. Shrek, big, but dirty, unwashed. Popeye, tough to say. I think he's overcompensating. I think he's a gym junkie with a tiny schlong. Homer Simpson, I think he makes no apologies for that. Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. I reckon. I mean, he's mopey. That's only because there's no female Eeyores to get around. Goofy. Yeah, he'd be young. Mickey. Mickey Mouse. Nah, little one. Suits Minnie just fine, though, doesn't it? Pink Panther. Oh, he'd have a Pink Panther. Fred Flintstone. No. Not as small as Barney, though. Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Big. Big freak. Let's go in the Disney franchise for a second. All right. Disney, the most well-hung Disney character. And this is a wild card. And let me know. Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast. I think that candlestick has a real candlestick on him. I reckon he puts Gaston to shame. Seven Dwarfs. Who's the biggest fan of the Seven Dwarfs? Bashful. Totally bashful. Yep. Thomas the Tank Engine. I reckon that thing drags along the tracks. Drags. I reckon all the engines, actually. Percy, James, Gordon. They're all big. Fat controller. Tiny. That's why he's fat and so controlling, I reckon. Does it fit in the bottle of Pringles? Yeah. Does it fit in the bottle of Pringles? I don't want to cast aspersions, but I'd argue it's more of a tin. But we can't get bogged down with nitty gritty. There's too many big prizes on offer. Simple way, simple aim, simple way to play the game. Pringles original tin can, bucket, bottle in front of me. We are paying homage tonight to Frederick J. Bauer, the inventor of the Pringles can. Such a diverse invention. I mean, when you think about inventions, you think wheel, iPhone, Pringles can. They're the big three. And he passed away last year, and some of his ashes were sprinkled inside one of his very own inventions, the Pringles can. And Shelley, rest in peace with original Pringles and some of his very own ashes. It's a sweet touch. Now, we've got the Pringles tin here. We all know about the Pringles tin. I've got a whole heap of objects as well that are similar girth, shall we say, to the Pringles tin. It's up to you to guess whether or not it will fit inside the Pringles tin. I shall hover said object over the Pringles tin. I shall then drop it. If we hear a sound, it means that it has dropped right to the bottom. If not, it means that no, it doesn't fit inside the Pringles tin. A quick example, producer Michaela in studio at the moment. You can see the Pringles tin.
Yep.
Now, you've got the added benefit of actually seeing the visual stimuli here as well. But what I also have is a can of Coke. No trickery here, just 375ml can of Coke. Okay. Now, I'm about to hover the Coke over the top of the Pringles tin. I shall then drop it. Do you think that it will slide all the way down the empty Pringles tin into the bottom and make a sound? Or it will not fit. It will provide too thick, too girthy for the tight, tight Pringles.
I mean, they're both similar in width.
That's the that. Don't think I got up this morning thinking this was a fluke. I brainstormed things that are very similar thickness to each other. That's the challenge of the game.
I'm going to go yes with a very tight fit.
Tight squeeze, Coca-Cola hovering over the top of the Pringles can. I shall drop in 3, 2, 1.
Oh.
Nothing. Hovering right on top. Just a little too thick. Just a little too well hung for the Pringles, I'm afraid. It's official. Coca-Cola can, slightly thicker than the Pringles tin. Melissa from Melton. Easy. You've picked it up now. You know what the score is. Melissa.
Yeah, hi. Yeah,
hey. So the next item on the agenda is a tennis ball. Just your standard tennis ball. Your standard Wilson. Nice wheeze. Your standard Wilson.
That was my granddaughter, sorry.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Jeez. It wasn't my best gear, but I appreciated it. It's a tennis ball. It's your standard Wilson tennis ball. It's going to hover over the top of the Pringles can. Do you think it's going to fit through the original Pringles tin and get to the bottom? Okay. Or you think it's too thick?
Yep. Tight. Oh, no, probably not fit.
Not fit. Okay. Locking in not fit. She's phoned a friend. Here we go. Hovering over the top. It hasn't dropped. It hasn't dropped. Congratulations. Two things. It's half in. It's half in. It's teabagging the Pringles can, but it's not right in. If I put some force into it, it'll go in, but that wasn't the aim of the game. Oh, God. Now, no, it almost got stuck in there, ruining it for future contestants. Well done. Hold the line. Grilled voucher coming your way. $100 worth of it. Oh, my God. Shush, child. Ash in Victoria. Hello.
Yeah, how you going?
Good, thank you. You know your Pringles tins. You strike me as a man with quite a thick wrist, quite a real huntsman hand. You'd struggle to get to the bottom of these.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Willie, if you say so. If you're going to be buttering up with my masculine hand, sure. Now, what we've got here for you is a chocolate digestive. Are you aware of the chocolate digestive?
No.
Well, it's a biscuit. It's a McVitie's biscuit. Wheat comes in handy if you've got diarrhea. Chocolate on top, biscuity on the bottom.
Oh, I've got to say, it's going to go straight to the bottom.
You have to back yourself in, don't you? Straight to the bottom, hovering over the top of the Pringles tin, the chocolate digestive. Oh, no, it's gone right on top. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's almost like a lid itself. It really is. It's you take another mil off the diameter and you're home and hose. But unfortunately, no burgers for you. God, it's a fickle mistress, this Pringles game. Kate, last call. If you want to have a hot summer fling with chili relish and tahini mayo, it's the spicy Mediterranean-inspired pair with flair. Grill voucher, $100 coming your way. If you can tell me whether a bottle of Tui's Extra Dry will be dropping into the bottom of a Pringles tin.
Are we talking a stubby, like a glass bottle?
We're talking a stubby, babes. We're talking a chubby stubby.
Chubby stubby. No, it won't fit.
Wow, she's gone out on a limb here. The chubby stubby will not be going to the bottom of the Pringles tin. Here we go. As I hover over the top in 3, 2, 1. Oh, God, it has. It's gone right through.
Oh,
and it's dinted the bottom. Can't recycle this now. Look, it's not how you like to end a show. It's really not. Oh, God. She'll rue this one.
Never mind.
Well, that's the spirit.
Try again tomorrow.
I don't know if we'll be playing again tomorrow, though. That's the only thing. Sex Mondays. Okay, yeah, I get it. A couple of slow orgasms there on the end. It can only mean one thing. Cam Fraser, men's sex coach, joining the Danny Lakey Show family for 2021. Hello, Cam Fraser.
Hey, mate. Thanks for having me again.
Enchanté. Good holidays. Trust the kids are well. Everything in order. Keeping out of mischief. Staying out of lockdowns.
Yeah, well, the fiancés are very heavily pregnant, so we were very quiet.
I'd expect nothing other than that response from a men's sex coach. Yeah, the wife has fell victim to another pregnancy. Cam Fraser. Much like golf, sex is something that you can never quite master. You just keep getting better the longer you're on this planet. And Cam Fraser does that. You teach men how to become better in the boudoir. You teach more mindfulness, sex. You treat porn addictions. You treat all sorts of things. Let's talk about lasting longer in the bedroom. We've come a long way since those midnight adverts saying, hey, just take this bit of gum just before you hop into the sheets. You'll last longer. Trust me. You'll be so numb you won't feel anything down there. You'll go for hours, you Trojan horse. We've come a long way since then.
Yeah, we certainly have. I mean, there's heaps of sprays and creams and things available if we're talking technology. But the problem with a lot of those topical treatments is that they unfortunately tend to numb out our receptive partner as well. So if we're being penetrative and we're putting this spray on our cock, then if we're putting our cock inside of our partner, the numbing the spray and the cream is going to work on them as well.
It sort of almost defeats the purpose in a way, but I guess we're fed this message in mainstream media as well that, yes, guys are rowdy bunches, but we're almost too rowdy for our own good. And you'll see a lot of the time, oh, yeah, he wasn't too bad in the bedroom, but he's a little quick, a little bit of a party pop, a little bit of a champagne supernova. So if you want to still enjoy your sex, there must be other options than just numbing it down and putting a little bit of toothpaste on it.
Totally, totally. And the whole process of learning how to last longer is really not that difficult. The mechanism that makes us come quickly, that makes us pop our top too soon, is anxiety. It's stress. Mm-hmm. And whether that's mental or physical, usually it's a combination of the both, but we kind of feel this pressure of this anxiety to perform, and then that becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that makes us kind of come a little bit too quickly. So one of the easiest ways you can do to start to last longer is get in control of your stress and your anxiety when you're starting to be sexual with your partner. And one of the most simplest ways has come from yoga, mindfulness, psychologists starting to teach us now comes from breathing. Start learning how to breathe deep into your belly and slow your body down.
Where were you when I was 19 years old with a pizza face working at McDonald's, struggling to last over the 90-second threshold with my first girlfriend, Cam Fraser? It was one of the great things. I work on the radio. I've done stand-up comedy. I've done a lot of nerve-wracking things in my time. Skydive. There was nothing more fear-invoking than being a 19-year-old boy learning how to use his downstairs region. I guess, well, there is a, like, I think I'm getting better in that way, but what I'll find, and tell me if this is normal or a little bit out of the ordinary, but the longest sessions I'll have is when I'm with a partner that I've been with for quite a few months. So I like to plot a line graph. The first time I'll have sex with a new partner, all right, yep, not bad. Maybe 6.5 minutes. Second time, 7.5. And then like 3 months down the track, it's like, oh, God, geez, it fit in 4 sessions for the price of one. Do you reckon that's to do with my, I'm more comfortable with summer, right? So maybe I don't have as much anxiety subconsciously going through my system.
Well, that's 100% correct, man. And this is something that a lot of men don't like to acknowledge or even kind of talk about because of this machismo type of mentality that we're supposed to have as guys in this kind of Western society. But one of the things that makes us last longer in the bedroom is feeling safe, is feeling like we're not going to be judged, is feeling like we've got a partner who's, you know, not going to expect all these crazy things from us, who's kind of realistic about the sexual encounter that we're going to have. So this feeling of comfort and safety is actually really, really important for us.
I've always thought that lasting longer in the bedroom is 80% above the shoulders, with the other 20% on the backside of the penis. I'm talking about your prostate. I feel sometimes I'll be tension and squelching too much out the back there, and sometimes I've rolled myself up into like a state of spasm, like I'm sort of like squeezing my cheeks together. You couldn't even jam a credit card down the crack anymore. Is that something to do with it? Is there a physical component as well? If I was to, for lack of a better word, loosen up back there and try and just forget about the tensing of the back passage, that might buy me an extra couple of minutes?
Yeah, man, there's a huge correlation between like lower back and pelvic and gluteal tension and tightness and sexual dysfunction such as premature ejaculation. So all this tension and tightness that you're building up and you're storing and you're putting in this kind of area of your perineum and the pelvic floor, it's got to go somewhere. Something has to be released, right, in order to let that tension go. And so that looks like an early or rapid ejaculation.
And if all else fails, squeeze out that easy one just before you go out on the town expecting a one-night stand. Now we're on to multiple orgasms. Now, I've always been a single-shot guy, Cam Fraser. I'm opening my mind to new possibilities. It's 2021. How is a guy to have multiple orgasms? Because I thought this was a lady thing.
Yeah, well, the first thing you need to realize about multiple orgasms is that ejaculation and orgasm are actually two separate physiological processes in the body. So once we understand that, then we can go, all right, well, if I'm, you know, having orgasm and ejaculation at the same time, which is very typical for us guys because that's how we teach ourselves to do it, what can I then do to separate those two things so that I can have an orgasm that doesn't involve an ejaculation? And one of the easiest ways to do this is to build yourself up. So during your solo play or your masturbation time, build yourself up as close as you can to that tipping point of ejaculation and then pull your hands away. And instead of ejaculating, what should happen is you'll kind of feel this twitching, tingling, spasming kind of sensation in your pelvic floor. And that's actually the beginnings of your orgasm. So you can start to continue to do that and train yourself to experience more of those sensations rather than going down that path of ejaculation.
Oh my God. I reckon I went through like a 3-month phase maybe 10 years ago where I was trying this and I'd read stuff on the internet. There was something about that you had to like plunge your thumb like deep into your perineum to like block the tube or something as well. Is that also something, or is this edging thing a better way to try and achieve that?
Well, it's called the million-dollar point, that pressing up into the perineum, which I don't like to teach, unfortunately, because what can happen is when you do that, you block those prostatic ducts from moving sexual reproductive fluids through your sexual system, and that can actually send it back into your bladder, and you'll get what's called a retrograde ejaculation. And if you've ever done that, the next time you go and piss, you'll notice that your piss is quite foamy and quite frothy, and that's actually your ejaculate coming out in your urine.
I hate that. I hate when I block my ducts and I do a retrograde fuzzy ejaculation. I hate that one. The risk that you do, though, and look, I'm actually going to try this. I'm going to commit a month to trying to achieve the multiple orgasm. I've just had a little brainwave. Write that on the whiteboard, producer Michaela. I'll do that, but you do run the risk of then wasting an orgasm, because I remember I did try that before and you'd be like, right, no hands, and then you try and hold it in at the last second, you'd fail, and then you kind of have this half-assed orgasm, and then all the fuzzy ejaculate would come out as well. And you're like, oh, that was a bit of a waste of time. Now I've had six of one and half a dozen of the other, and no pledge.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole process should be pleasurable. That's the practice, I suppose, is enjoying the whole journey.
Nah, I just like the end point. I'm not in line like you, Cam Fraser. I'm ferocious. I'm like a speed addict for 2 minutes, and then just enjoy the last little bit.
Yeah, nice. Well, you did mention before the prostate as well, and that is one other way of becoming multi-orgasmic is you can have a prostate orgasm. And the way that the body is innovated, the way the nervous system works, is a prostate orgasm doesn't trigger an ejaculation. So therefore, you can have multiple prostate orgasms because you never enter into what's called the refractory period after you've had an ejaculation where you can't have another one. So if you're game and you're interested, there's things you can do, maybe not sticking a credit card like you referred to before, but maybe picking someone else up there and exploring prostate play to bring yourself to that prostate orgasm.
Yeah, I do that about once a year as well. Never works for me either. Never works. I always feel a little bit ashamed afterwards. I know I shouldn't, but I've been brainwashed by the mainstream media. I try it once a year when I'm like, oh, just a normal one won't do. I'm feeling a little bit freaky, but then nothing happens. Nothing happens.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's like going to the gym once a year, Danny. How much effect is that going to have on you?
All right. Write that on the whiteboard as well, Michaela. I shall pledge to put a thumb in my bum once every 4 or 5 days for the month of January. Cam Fraser opening minds, opening blocked ducts, and opening anuses all around the country in Triple M land. Male sex coach, cam-fraser.com and Cam Fraser on Instagram as well. Some good content on there. I saw something the other day that you thought this was your theory, there might be a correlation between the style of how you shat on the toilet versus your performance in the bedroom. And to be honest, I think there's something in that as well. I really thought there was.
Yeah, I think there is, man. Yeah, I think there is some studies done.
Very interesting gear on your socials as well. We'll chat next week for Sex Mondays. Thank you, Cam Fraser.
Thanks for having me, mate.